Confidence in God is what I chose as the theme for today. And I've come to realise that my confidence in God can vary depending on my circumstances or how I'm feeling or who else is involved around. And I think it's not because my faith is any different at these times or I don't believe God can do it. It's because I think he will not necessarily do it for me. In each of these readings, the author talks about a special confidence that comes only from God. The background in Isaiah is the same as Ian was talking about last week in Amos. The people had become complacent. There was a misuse of power. The decadent women are especially mentioned as one example of this escapist society. Their hearts were far from God. Their confidence was misplaced in their riches and surroundings and false gods. And they were warned at the beginning of this passage here, in these verses, of what would happen because of their way of life. 2 Corinthians speaks of another misplaced confidence, and that's one that is in our own competence. If we're good at something and we find it easy, we often can't understand why other people struggle in that area, or else we build ourselves a set of rules in order to cope, and then they become burdensome both for ourselves and for others. Self-confidence is promoted in our current age, isn't it? We admire confident people. We can even feel safe in their presence. We can become self-confident either because we've been brought up in an environment which encourages self-confidence, or else there are self-help programs which spend much time giving people assertiveness skills and working on their image, and it really is self-survival. So I thought about the qualities of character that self-confidence invokes, and I noticed that after a while, they tend to spiral into very unpleasant areas. Firstly, we act in our own strength. This brings independence, which is quickly followed by pride and sometimes arrogance. Domination is brought into play as it's important for us to maintain control of both people and surroundings in order to feed our fear of failure. The heightened importance of self brings in self-consciousness, which can also incur resentment and self-pity if things don't go our way. We also have to build other earthly things around us in order for us to maintain this self-confidence. This can include money and belongings, but also things such as our relationships, our family, our job, or our reputation. We are being deceived. And everything ticks along just fine until something goes wrong. We lose our job, and with it our reputation, possibly our income and our home. We retire, and we lose our sense of significance. Or a member of our family, or we ourselves are diagnosed with a terminal illness. Selwyn Hughes speaks of a woman who was very active in his church. She would help everybody. She wasn't particularly interested in either the Bible study or the prayer meetings, but she was a real stalwart of the church, and she was always there. She was always inspiring confidence in others, and she appeared never to need any help herself, nor did she ask for it. And then one day her mother died, and she fell completely apart, and it took her a long time to recover, and she was then needing the ministry of everybody else. Self-confidence is therefore fragile and temporary and shaken by change and circumstances. It does not serve us well. It is a lie. What a relief then that we realise we're not perfect. God steps in with his free gift of grace. By believing in Jesus, we can be restored to new life in Christ and know God as our Heavenly Father, and our confidence is now in him. And everything is now okay. Or is it? Well, if you're anything like me, it sometimes is and it sometimes isn't. We're on a journey of learning how to walk with God while he's still on this earth. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, but we try to keep one foot in each kingdom. We want to have the peace and joy of knowing God, but we still want to put our trust in earthly things and maintain control of our lives along the lines of what we think looks best. So when we're asked to do things that may require a step of faith, we shrink back. This may be in any area where we don't think God will quite do it for us. Whether this is trusting in God in the area of giving our time or our money, or for the welfare of members of our family, or forgiving someone who has hurt us, or stepping out and sharing our faith, we don't quite have confidence that God will be there for us. And so I looked at these passages in Isaiah, and I thought, in here, I find the key. Isaiah 32:15. Till the Spirit is poured out on us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest. The Lord's justice will dwell in the desert. His righteousness live in the fertile field. The fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. What a beautiful picture. Now, that Spirit was poured out from on high at Pentecost. This is a prophecy that has been fulfilled. Jesus is our righteousness. We are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, which is why we do have joy and peace, bottom line, in our spirits. And the effect of that is quietness and confidence forever, which is something that is ours, but sometimes I don't find that difficult to take hold of. And this is also, of course, looking to the future as well. I then looked at 2 Corinthians. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. And this talks about not having confidence in ourselves, not having to give ourselves a load of rules and regulations or other people a load of rules and regulations in order to be able to function properly and for us all to approve of one another. It says no, it's by the Spirit, and the Spirit gives life. And then this last one to Timothy, who was obviously not a very confident person, and he was quite timid, it sounds like, and he's told by Paul to fan into flame the gift that he's been given. For the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And then it goes on to say then that we're not ashamed of the gospel, that we will be able to share our faith, that Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, it is good news. God delights in each one of us individually. Sometimes we don't always take hold of that. He is for us, each one of us, individually. God has a plan and purpose for our lives right up to the day we die. The bottom line of his purpose for us is to glorify his name and enlarge his kingdom. Now, this isn't because he wants to use us like a tyrant, but because he knows that that is the best thing for us now. Apart from when we die and go to be with him, it's the best thing for us now. In order to do that, he's poured out his Spirit on us from on high. This Spirit gives life in all its fullness. We're required to fan this gift into flame, and it will not make us timid, but give us power, love, and self-discipline. We cannot have confidence in God in our own strength, but the more of the Holy Spirit we have in our lives, and the more we live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit, that's Galatians 5:25, and the more we're controlled by the Spirit, that's Romans 8:9, there is an absolute shift in the way we see things. And in what is important to us, we begin to see things through God's eyes. And what I think is amazing is that God seems to bless us more and more. And we know what the psalmist meant when he said, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." That's Psalm 37, verse 4. And we see the absolute truth in Jesus' words when he said, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. That's Matthew 6:33. And it is then that we start to trust that God will do the right thing for us, and we truly begin to have confidence in God. So what I think God's saying to us this morning is that he wants us to receive more of his Holy Spirit. Many of us can manage on a little because we were brought up to be independent and to manage our lives. I mean, it's a good life skill. We're brought up to be like that. We become robust and we're taught to survive. And so we start to manage on very little. We receive the Holy Spirit when we become Christians and we make a statement of faith in Jesus, and we receive from him the gift of the Holy Spirit. But then sometimes we leave it there a little bit, or we go on down our spiritual journey and we don't keep asking for more. Or we forget that actually that's the Holy Spirit is who we need in order to function in the Christian life, in no matter what area we're in, whether we sometimes think that we only need that if we're going to go and evangelize, and we don't need it for the rest of our lives. It's for all of our lives, because we are now living in the kingdom of light. Every day is an act of worship, whether we're in our workplace, whether we're at home. God is for us. He is helping us. We have ministering angels looking out for us. And he gives us his Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He wants us to be hungry and thirsty for more of him, to surrender to him, and to have our confidence in him. Now, at this point, my sermon notes end, but I think there's something God wants to do. And I think it doesn't matter where we are on our spiritual journey, I think God wants to give each one of us more of his Holy Spirit this morning. Now, we keep hearing that we have a mission coming up in 6 months' time. We do. And we will have people coming into the church who will want to see what this new life is all about. They will want to see people living this new life in joy and peace and being able to give an account of what it is that they have and to be able to share that. Now, we can only do that in the power of God's Holy Spirit. We cannot do it otherwise. It's not something that we have in the natural. And God knows that, which is why he poured it out. And Jesus told the disciples to wait and don't do anything till you get it, because you won't be able to. And we're in that same place. Now, I don't want anyone to feel under any pressure here, because receiving the Holy Spirit and receiving more of the Holy Spirit always comes with a cost. That cost, actually, is stepping out of our comfort zone. So as soon as we have more of the Holy Spirit, God will probably require us to do something that where we're required to step out of our comfort zone. And if we don't, then we'll feel sort of that we've missed out a bit, I think. But if we do, God blesses us and gives us more of what will make us step out of our comfort zone. But then we grow and we become confident in God. And we trust that he will do what he's going to do, what he promises to do in his word, which sometimes we don't think applies to our lives now, but it does. Now, there's certain barriers that sometimes come. So what I'm going to do, and I don't know what I'm doing here, so I've never actually done this before, but God knows, and I think he's put this in my head. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, and then I'm going to pray through the different barriers. And if that is where you feel you are, then you can engage with that. And all the time, during all that time, you can be receiving more of the Holy Spirit from God. Now, if you do want to receive, I suggest that you hold your hands out. And if you don't, you can just listen. And it doesn't have to be a time, but it doesn't matter where we are. So I'm just going to pray now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. More of your Spirit, Lord. More of your Spirit. I just ask that we open our hearts, that we're willing and eager to receive. Now, it's possible that you don't really know about the Holy Spirit and you don't know that you need to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, that's fine. Jesus says, come. He says, come, I want to fill you. Receive from me. Sometimes we're fearful, or we may be a little hostile because we're not quite sure how that means we'll be afterwards. We're frightened of losing control. If that's you, then Jesus is saying, trust me. Put your trust in me, because I am faithful and I will never do anything that would harm you. Trust in me and receive from me. There may be a spiritual or moral issue in your life that you're concerned about that makes you think, I can't receive from God at the moment. And the Lord is saying to you, I will help you to get that sorted out. Receive from me. Nothing is too hard for me to sort out. Nothing is beyond me. Nothing is too shocking for me. I will sort it out. Receive from me. You may be self-conscious. You may think, it doesn't work for me. I've tried it before. I'm too embarrassed. I don't like doing that sort of thing. I don't like going forward at conventions when they ask people to go forward. I don't like people looking at me. I'm not a person who likes to be up at the front. I hate it. And the Lord is saying, surrender. He's saying, surrender to me. Lay down what is of yourself and replace it with what of me. It's possible that you're someone who's always questioning and analysing and trying to say, is this true or isn't it? Is this real? It doesn't really fit in with the way we think in life today. And the Lord is saying, lay down that rationalism. Put it aside. It's not of my kingdom. And receive from me. Well, it's possible that you have been in an extreme place of doubt or even disappointment. And so the Lord is wanting to touch that point of pain and extreme disappointment, unanswered prayer. He wants to minister into that pain. If it's turned to despair and unbelief, he says, come now and drink from the waters of my refreshing. I will answer your questions. I will give you the gift of comfort and fresh hope. Release that suffering. All your questions will dissolve in the light of my love and my presence. Come to me. Receive from me. And so, Father, we thank you for what you're doing here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you will never, ever leave us unable to do the work that you have called us to do. And in all these things, you will hold our families in your care. You will hold our circumstances in your care. You will hold everything that we hold dear to us in your care because you love us. Nothing is too hard for you. We commit ourselves to you now afresh, Lord, and ask that you send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work for you. And we say we have our confidence in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.